Yes, let's move on to the actual topic we're going to cover today. Okay, now that we have this wonderful workflow and we can basically have all, we can launch 1,000 servers. We know that they can automatically register in Foreman. We can set Foreman to automatically sign the certificates as well. And of course, if we really want to, we can probably add some more automation to automatically assign them a role or something like that as well. We can automate basically anything, but you know you probably want to leave some control. So let's apply this knowledge on two typical cases, because we want to control our computers. That's the goal of system administrators, and that's the goal of information security professionals, or one of the goals is to try the best we can to control our computing infrastructure. And the two things we really want then is to have some, since we can't control it 100%, you know that there will be incidents. There will be events, things break, or you are hacked, or someone makes an error, someone guaranteed makes an error, and you will have to investigate what happened. And then you have your log files. And when you have 1,000 computers, you really do not want to SSH into each and every one looking for log files. So we need to gather all our log files centrally in a scalable system. Imagine that you have, so if you put one of your services in debug mode, that might output 100 events each second. What if you put all your services in debug mode on all your 1,000 computers and you try to gather all these events centrally? That's what we call big data. So when you start gathering log events, you very easily end up with an enormous amount, talking millions of entries, maybe every hour. So when you plan for good centralized logging, make sure you plan with a scalable system, which is why the standard scalable centralized logging and analysis system in the open source world is the ELK stack. And this is the one you really need to know. In a professional context or in enterprises, probably more enterprises use Splunk, which does some of the same things, but yeah, I don't know that much about Splunk, but I know that about many uses also. I've asked you to read this document, not because we're going to manually install all these things, but so you know how you would do it if you were to do it manually. And also when you do, so whenever you're going to install a system, don't immediately try to or in a normal situation, you don't necessarily immediately try to install it using Puppet. You want to get to know it first. You want to manually install it on just a local computer or something to see how it works before you go to the automation, you know. So it's useful to read how you would install it manually, meaning in a non-scalable way. So this is a very nice recipe, how you install it on Ubuntu 16.04, all the things you need to do, but just imagine if you were to have to repeat this over and over and over again. So ELK is short for Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. And it works like this. we have a bunch of servers. They log data. And then we install an agent, if you will, on all these servers that every now and then, like every 10 seconds or something, or every second or whatever, they will see what have changed in the log files and ship those changes to another server. usually they would ship it to a Logstash server. What Logstash does is that it standardizes all the formats that you get data from, and you can enrich the logs, adding more context, more information, if you want to. But you can skip this step also and ship things directly into Elasticsearch. Elasticsearch, that's where you store the logs. So Logstash is for filtering, adding information, standardizing, and then Logstash puts data into Elasticsearch. And then for viewing and visualizing this, you use the interface called Kibana, which is a web application. And this, you know, is the standard Unix thinking. Each program should do one thing and do one thing well. So Kibana doesn't have any advanced protection for logging in, etc. Kibana is just the actual application this doing the visualization. So we want access control. So we put a web server in front, use Nginx as a reverse proxy. So you can use Nginx to access Kibana, and then use Nginx for access control. So this would be the typical setup. So we're going to do this and put all these things on one server. That's not necessarily the best thing to do.
So, before we get started, I've actually had a rare chance to see the audience. So, who of you is using one of the Elastic products, like Elasticsearch?
So this is a quite recent talk. It's only 25 minutes, so please, I hope you watch this. I'm just going to show you parts of it. But there are some things happening now. So he's not talking about the Elk stack, he's talking about the Elastic stack, because they are especially modifying and improving their agents. So the Elk stack will sort of be relaunched as the Elastic Stack 5.0. And the first beta is out or something. There are no big changes. It's just that that's why it says the Elastic Stack. Because they're trying to make all the components more or easily fit together or something. But I just want to show you one thing from this video.
The nice part of this kind of architecture is that you have different components for generating data, for enriching data, and for storing, and so scaling out is pretty simple. You probably end up with more beats because you have more than one system to monitor, so this is usually the first component you're supposed to scale.
So these are your servers shipping
logs? If your processing pipeline gets slow because you're doing some CPU-intensive computations, it's easy to just add more Logstash nodes and to have beats sending the data to one of those. And, of course, when we need to have more space to store data, to analyze data, to query data, you can just scale up there as well.
No, that's the big point. When you use the Elk stack, each component is designed for scalability. So it's very simple to just, if you're doing advanced filtering at the Logstash level, just add more hosts. If you see that you're storing enormous amounts of data, and this takes a long time to search and retrieve, then just add more Elasticsearch nodes. this is one of the things that I will propose that you do in your project. You will get all the code for ElkStack now that we're going to use this week. And if you want to in your project, try to do this. Try to scale it up.
So we kind of removed single points of failure in this architecture using the different products of the Elastic Stack. But there's one thing which I'm usually not happy with those diagrams, and this is this arrow. The arrow is one of the most crucial parts of getting data from A to B, and many people are just drawing an arrow and then everything is fine. But it's usually not. It's a crucial link, and the crucial link needs to fulfill a certain set of properties. One of them.
This is also important. That is very easy when you start designing and thinking that, yes, so I have a software agent that's going to communicate with a different server. Okay, so then it needs to send some data to this IP address and this port. Problem solved. No, you don't do that today. So you want secure, reliable transport. You probably want authenticated transport. You want this to work across the wireless network in there. Is that particularly reliable? Not currently. So you want a lightweight, reliable, authenticated, encrypted communication. We're not always going to do that, because that takes more time to configure, and we don't want, I want to encourage you to do that and to think security all the time, but sometimes we do some shortcuts. Okay? But for our setup, we will use keys for securing communication. But we will, I'm not sure if we will do that next week when we set up monitoring. So, but watch this entire video. It's really good. Okay, so let's go to this week's lab exercise. Just one thing. I think that if I now do an OpenStack, or you do OpenStack image list, there might be something quite cool here. You see something? Well, I guess it depends on your preference. But do you see something different? Yes. On top. It was released less than 2 weeks ago, I think. But Lars-Erik did an excellent job a few days ago and prepared an OpenStack ready image of Windows Server 2016. So I haven't tried it out yet. I'm not sure he has tried it out yet either, so but feel free to do that sometime. I'm not sure if I will have time to move our 2 weeks of Windows over on 2016, maybe. But now you know it's there, and that you know means that. Where your image says Windows Server 2012, you can try to use 2016 the next time you launch a HeatStack. Okay, now you need to do a bunch of copying and pasting. And so that's why I wrote the news that please don't do that from the PDF file, because that increases your chance of an error. So copy and paste from the tech file. If you're on Windows, since Unix and Windows have different characters for line breaks, the tech file might look ugly when you open it in Notepad. So I did a Windows version with Windows line breaks here. So open this in, if you're on Windows, open this in Notepad and copy and paste from Notepad. And I know that there's just one known error on Linux that you might encounter, and that is that logstash has one small error that triggers when you run it in a testing environment. So logstash sort of assumes that you're running in production. So when you're running in a testing environment, like we do when we install it, you will see that it will complain. It will says, fail to generate additional resources using eval generate. Could not find directory environment name testing anywhere in the path. This is a bug, and it's documented here. So for this will probably be fixed soon. So for now, just do this. Just create this directory on the monitor host where you run this. So it's not shouldn't be necessary, but there's a bug. So just do this one command to create this directory, and the error goes away. So we need keys. We need key pairs, public and private keys. So you need a public and a private key on the server. And then all your agents, all your other hosts, needs the public key of the server so they can establish encrypted communication. So this is just one-way authentication that we set up for now. So create a key pair for logstash, and then create also, these are self-signed keys. Again, should be signed by a third party, but now we just know what we're doing, so we're just using self-signed keys for testing. And then create a key for Nginx, so that when you contact Nginx and you want to provide a username and password for logging in, you're doing that over HTTPS. That's true. I was going to improve this by... Who knows about this? Isn't there something called Let's Encrypt? Yeah, where more easily can get certificates. So especially for Nginx, we should probably have used this Let's Encrypt instead of manually generating like this. Okay, but anyway. So, make sure you are in the testing branch. Create a new directory monitoring. Meaning, so you see, I'm in my control repo, insight, profile, manifests, and here I need to have a monitoring directory. Exam question. If I create a class called Elk in here, what should that class be named as the full name? Remember, there's a relationship between the file names and directories and the class name. So if you want Puppet to locate a class that is in the profile module under manifests in the monitoring directory, and you have a file called elk.pp that should have a class you would like to refer to as elk, the class can't just be called elk. Puppet won't find it. What does it have to be called? Yes? So the class has to be named the name of the module, colon, colon, and then you know it's in the manifest directory, so you don't have to include manifests. But if you have a subdirectory here, you have to include that. So the class needs to be profile, monitoring, elk. So if I view my file here called elk, you see there's a is this defining or declaring? This is defining, exactly. So here I'm writing, I'm creating a class describing what it should look like. So where am I actually implementing this? You will be implementing it in here. So in the role module, in the manifests, we have a file called monitoring server, which has a class which I define as the role. Role colon colon monitoring server, and here I include all the profiles that should be on the monitoring server. And this is declaring. So you see, there I'm declaring the elk class. Okay. Just check that I make sure that I'm on my testing branch. Put logstash.crt and nginx.crt. These are the files you just created when you created the keys. In a directory, files, keys, search in the profile module. Meaning, this should be so in our control repo, in the profile module, files, keys, certificates, there I should have my two files. Because one new thing we're going to do is we're going to use our modules to distribute files. So in your module, you always put your manifests in the manifest directory. If you want files that should be copied to hosts, you put them in the files directory. So there are several different ways of doing this, which I've commented at the end of the exercise. Then you could put your private keys in Hiera. Because you know our public keys, they're public. Our private keys, we should be careful about. So they should be put in Hiera, and ideally they should be in encrypted Hiera. But we haven't set that up. Then we need some more data and a password. So put this in Hiera as well. The name of the Logstash server, that might change. So useful to not hard code it. The Kibana virtual host and the password for the data user. This is the password you will use when logging in. Okay, so when you install a service, you install it, and then it has a configuration file, and then you run the service. There are different ways of treating the configuration file. Sometimes you just give Puppet the configuration options you want, like we do with Elasticsearch. So the only extra option I want to make sure, because I made this mistake before, that Elasticsearch is a Java application, and it requires a heap size of at least 2 gigabytes. So I want to make sure that this is in. So this is the way Puppet Elasticsearch class does it, that it just, I can just give the options here, and it's combined with something else that the module does. The way the Logstash module does this is that you can just supply the entire configuration file. Just have the entire configuration file, and I'll just copy it into place. So here is the E for Elasticsearch, L for Logstash, here. You see that I just installed the configuration file like this. This file is the configuration file. Logstash module knows where to put it. But the source is from Puppet, modules, profile, logstashlogs.conf. That means when there's no more directory here, Puppet knows that's in the profile module, in the files directory, and it should find this file. So you need to copy this entire file. That's why I specify do not copy from the PDF. Copy from the tech file so you don't get any errors in here. See, Logstash needs to know that it will receive this input from Beats. Beats are the agents that are reporting, sending log data. So it needs to understand that it should listen to Beats, listen on port 544, and use these SSL information for secure communication. And the data it gets, we should, if it's syslog data, we want to add some fields to it, when I received it, and where it's received from. Yeah, so this is optional, but this is adding information just so Logstash has a purpose. When Logstash is done, it will output to Elasticsearch here. But be right, this is not Puppet code. This is just a configuration file for Logstash, which we just copy into place. It just has a syntax that looks a little bit like Puppet. So for this to work, much of the dependencies of these modules are included in our Puppet file already. So add these 5 to the Puppet file. And then you create this file, which I just showed you. Again, just copy and paste this. And then you create the file that will be on all the agents, which we called logforward.pp. And here we're going to do, you have probably seen this before, but we haven't done it in the lab yet. So we can do the same as we do with the base profile, that we have one file for Linux or one file for Windows. But it's kind of neat if we just can have one file and that will work on both Windows and Linux. So that's what I'm doing here. So let's create one file. I get the information about the Logstash server, and then I do a check for the fact. For the kernel. So if this fact says Linux, then I do this. And if the fact says Windows here, then I do this. Because on Linux you can use the bit called file bit, and on Windows you can use the bit called winlog bit. And winlog bit understands Windows event logs. It's kind of nice. Because logging on Linux and on Windows is very different. But there's a plugin that understands Windows. And so here I'm telling it the system log, the application log, and the security log. Ship those to the Logstash server. And then I separate the reverse proxy functionality. Because this is general. This is just putting access control in front of Kibana. By the way, installing Kibana is very, very simple. See here? This is installing Kibana. Don't need to do anything. Yeah. So that's the K. But I want access control in front of Kibana. So I throw on a reverse proxy. Nginx. Creating some files. And I, yeah, this is the very simple, good old htpassvd file for having a username and password. So I create the username data with this password from Hiera. And then I set ownership on this file. So this is the actual implementation of Nginx as a reverse proxy. Note that we said we listened to port 8081. Oh, sorry, the list I told you about before, about Puppet file, is, yeah, these are the modules we need for the agent, for Logstash, Elasticsearch, Kibana, and Nginx. What you have to put in the Puppet file is a little bit more. That's what I've, it's this list here. So you see, quickly you end up with a Puppet file, maybe with 100 modules, when you start building a configuration. And then, as I showed you, this is our first role. So we now have one server that should do one specific role. It should be a monitoring server. So we create a role called monitoring server. And then we're going to add more to this as we add more monitoring functionality. But for now, this should have the profile base Linux. It should have the Elk stack. And it should have a reverse proxy. And then place the monitor and the test and dir 0, 1, or 2 in the testing environment. And then you should be able to add this log forward module to the clients. And this should start working. Okay, just one small catch. The Windows part isn't working. So this, on Windows, we should use this WinLog bit. And there is one Puppet module for this. And it's by Skynet Solutions. And it has a lot of bugs. And I'm not sure if there are bugs in the WinLog bit already. So I got it working, but there are some bugs. You'll see I reported one of them. And these bugs are really easy to find. Oh, there, yes, the author hasn't commented on this. But you see, that's me. So, it's quite easy when you see in this module, if you try to use it, it will fail. And you will see that there's one resource that requires a previous exec called rename folder. But the previous exec is not called rename folder. He has labeled it rename winlog bit folder. So either you have to delete this, or you have to take this and insert there. Yeah. So I just did this manually and reported this to the author. But there's no immediate feedback on this. So there are some bugs, and when information is filled out in the installation script, you get a double backslash in the Windows path, which causes it to fail. But it's quite easy to fix if you want to. It doesn't matter that much, but if you want the logging to work on Windows, you have to do some of these things manually. If this were in a professional context, we would of course fork this module and do the fixes ourselves, because it doesn't take that much effort to fix it and make it properly. Fork it, fix it, and then make a pull request back to the author so he could include it. Okay, so this should result in the following . So note that you now need the floating IP of the monitor host. Visit that address with using HTTPS. If you write HTTP, it will fail. So write HTTPS colon port 8081. That will ask you for a username and a password. Username is data, and the password is whatever you put in Hiera. Sorry. Then Kibana will load up. And yeah, you have to choose an index field in the beginning, but just choose whatever is default. I don't know. So Kibana is an extremely nice interface that allows you to analyze basically anything. I haven't done that, so I don't know much how to use it. But I know I can click up here and say, for instance, I want all the logins for the last 4 hours. Okay, maybe the last 24 hours to see if we have some patterns. So you see that here there's not that much logging right now. I'm not gathering all the logs either. But you see there's like every half hour or so being logged between 50 and 100 events. I can then zoom in like this. Okay, there seems to be something going on here. Show me this. Aha, here something happened. And you can see only these events and inspect them if you want to. But moving back to the quick, so last 12 hours, and if I choose to use host name, you will see here that I am getting log events from DIR02. So I am getting log events from Windows as well. I can choose to add, I only want to see what was logged on Windows. So here, you see, this is from hostname, DIR02. The software message is the software protection service entered the stopped state. Yeah, that's mostly what... Here, time-based license remaining validity time. Yeah. Okay, so you see, this is what it should look like. If you look on of course, if you when you want to see if things are working, first thing, check if the services are running. First thing you do, are all components up? So go on the monitor. Is Logstash working? So do a system control status Logstash service if you're doing the systemd syntax. Yep, active, running, nothing dramatic in the most recent logs. Looks okay. Is it actually listening on a port? Logstash is supposed to listen on port 544 or something, isn't it? So let's do SS TLP, TCP, listening on port, do not do name resolution, and look for port 544. Yep, there's Logstash is a Java application, and it's running a Java application listening on 544. So that looks good. So check that the service is running. SS, by the way, is the same as basically the same as netstat. Yeah. And I think, do I have more? Elasticsearch is a Java application, and Elasticsearch listens on 9200, so that looks like it's up and running as well. I can check the status of Elasticsearch. Active, inactive, dead. Yeah, I don't know why it's reporting like that. It's not this. It's working, so this is not necessarily wrong. Yes. Remember that you might. You might have to add, so since you're going to contact your host on port 8081, do you have port 8081 in your security group? Check that, might be that you have to open port 8081 in your security group as well. And read the last part of the exercise here. I've written, reflect on different ways you can process the content of a file on a server. Because this is different configuration management systems do this differently. So now we're copying it from a module. You can edit the content of it. You can VGET it from a website. There are several different approaches to how you do this. There's always one more than one way to do it. Any questions? Okay. Oh, and as I said, so we're going to implement the Elk Stack this week, and then we're going to implement Sensu monitoring next week. As much as we can get working of it. I almost got it working, but I ran out of time, so I hope that you can help me with getting Sensu working next week. If not, that will also be another possible project. But we have most of the code ready for it. But as I said, these are just a case this week and a case next week, but the important thing is that you get up and running until last week. So you have the working setup with Foreman and Git and R10K. So, and